Los Osos is a great place to be a kid, especially an unsupervised kid. My mom and my oldest brother, or my older brother, he's 3 years older, and my sister and I, we moved on to my grandparents' hobby farm. It's on the east end of town near the cemetery. And so my grandpa had been a city guy. He was raised in the city, and then he raised his family in L.A., and then he decided he wanted to be a farmer in retirement. And then his daughter and all her kids moved back in. But it was really great. And he really took to the country living, and he wanted to pass on some skills he had learned, not actually growing up in the country, but because he'd been in World War II. So he taught us about barbed wire fences and the best way to get through or under a barbed wire fence is that if you're with someone else, what you can do is you can grab the top wire like this, and then you step on the bottom wire, and then you let someone pass through this way. And then sometimes the barbed wire, though, is very taut, but you never want to climb a barbed wire fence. So you could crawl underneath, and he taught us how to belly crawl. And we took to that, too, because we're kind of squirmy little kids. So I don't know that he meant to teach us how to trespass, but that's what he did. And we knew how to climb. So my brother and I often would just roam. And there was a lot of room to roam out there. We most liked the hills that are out between Morro Bay and Los Osos, kind of out towards Turi Road. And there's nothing out there but a bunch of cattle most of the time. But my brother really was looking for stuff that people used to have. And I was looking for nature. So I'd cut off pieces of cattails and thistles and pick up cow skulls and that sort of thing. But my brother was looking for the remains of old homes and dumps. Though we didn't go to the dump, it was still in effect then. There was a dump up off Turi Road, but it was too supervised. They were going to kick us out. So we didn't go there. One of our favorite spots was at the end of Mellow Road, right under the cemetery. We climbed the fence, and there was an old house. And much of the time, the old house was empty, and then it burned down. And once it burned down, we really had at it, because you could find things inside the burnt spots. And they also had a bunch of cars that, instead of, getting rid of a car, it's fairly hard to get rid of a car, what generations of the Mellows had done is just park their cars on the land that they had plenty of, and they would just let them rust. And my brother, this was a treasure trove. So he would be out there, he'd have his pliers and his screwdrivers, and he'd tell me about how sad it was that somebody had taken, rifle practice with these cars, but meanwhile, he's totally disassembling every single part that he wants to have. And he also shared with me a lot of information that I don't know that I would have looked for about American cars and which companies came up and different design schemes through the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and how some of the companies fell and some of them merged with other companies. And it was not interesting, but I loved my brother. And so he would lecture me on this as we were breaking and entering. So sometimes we would find unexpected treasures, too. We knew that place was there. But sometimes we would wander around the hills, and there would be a ravine like this. And you wouldn't see it until you got over. And then you'd look down, and there were a lot of people. And maybe it was before they had the dump, or maybe it was too much trouble. But the farm families would just toss all of their garbage in this ravine. You couldn't see it. But those were some real treasures right there. And my brother would haul up old bottles or coins or different sorts of appliances that he would find. And he would say, this dump is from the 1940s, and I can tell because of this toaster right here. And he would tell me about this. Different toasters. I had a favorite one. It was out near Turi Road. It was probably the Turi family dump. But I found abalone shells this big out there. Red abalone shells like you will never see because they're gone. It was truly a historical sight. After a while, though, we moved over to Baywood Park, which is a bunch of terrible 70s tract houses. It's very boring. But all my friends were there. So I would hang out with my girlfriends. And my brother and I didn't hang out so much there. But he found a friend, David Villa, who their family actually owned Villa Ranch. And so they would wander around together and get into trouble and disassemble old things. And my brother and I would talk about that later. And then sometimes he would tell me about things that he was fascinated by at the time. Akbar the Great, mostly in the Mughal Empire, and he would tell me about this. And again, I wasn't really interested in the subject, but I love my brother. And so I would listen to this. What got really hard, though, is that it got really difficult for him because he realized that he was not a cool kid. And I had realized early on that we were poor. I remember in third grade coming to the sudden realization that we were poor. But he didn't really realize until he was a scholarship student at Mission College Prep here in San Luis Obispo. And it's not just a Catholic school. It is the only place that you can buy a high school education for your kid in San Luis Obispo. And so that's when he first came into contact with people who had money. And this was really difficult for him. And we like to convince ourselves, you know, that being cool or being accepted, it isn't about money. It isn't about that. But it takes us years, if ever, to convince ourselves of this. And my brother was just beginning as an adolescent in high school. And I assured him. I said, "Tom, it's okay to be different." But I was a little sister, and what did I know? So he was very unhappy, but he went away to college to Hawaii, which is the coolest place. That was the coolest place he could think of, and he got there, and then he met these douchebags that he thought were the coolest bros ever. I know, because I spent a summer there embarrassing him as his little punk sister. And so, yeah, they got in a Jeep accident drunk driving one night. And the driver broke a bunch of bones. And one of the guys is paraplegic now. And my brother suffered a terrible traumatic brain injury. He's better now. He's better. The medical social worker told me that all this weirdness that he has going on was a result of this brain injury that he had suffered. I assured her that that was not the case. He had always been weird. What's different now, though, is he's pretty okay with it. He found a group of people, this Hawaiian Bottle Club, and they go around to various old pineapple plantations, to old military installments on Oahu, and they dig up latrines and buildings that have burned down. He's found his people, finally. And he came up to the Morro Bay Bottle Show in March. And he was telling me about going around with the guys, and that one of the guys actually had taken the sign that said Property of Hawaii that was on the fence telling them not to go there. He'd taken a fancy to it. I said, "How, Tom, you're a law-abiding citizen. How do you rationalize, well, breaking and entering? You know, there's a sign. It clearly says no trespassing, keep out, federal prosecution. How do you do this?" And he said, "You know, the things we want are things that people think of as junk. And we really value it. And we should get to go there, out of bounds or no."